Set up the stage, we kind of moved the pulpit, so bear with me here. I'm going to come down right here and set up. We have some amazing kids, don't we? I just have to say that it has been such a blessing this week working with them. We have a lot of team that works on putting Vacation Bible School together. I put a thank you in the bulletin and realized I probably couldn't name everybody, just because there's so many people that do so much. Between our kitchen crew, like our kitchen crew was incredible. Every night we fed the kids. They had great dinners. We had a snack. We had crafts. We had our youth helping out in the craft booths, working with the kids. We had game leaders. We had Mary's House, which they actually got to go and sit down with two characters. One was pretending to be Mary, and she was telling stories about Jesus as her son. Like how a mom would tell stories. And of course, her crazy neighbor, Eunice, I love you, who now has a bad rap with the kids. Sorry, Amelia. We have a design team, we have set crews, we have just so much work goes into putting us all together. It's just, I hope I didn't forget any registration, people who sat and did registration, who greeted people, who just ran around behind the scenes. My husband, who comes up to me 10 times and says, honey, what'd you forget? I don't know yet. It'll come to me in about 2 seconds. And so we have so many amazing things. And Ani, who works with the kids, we have Matthew who plays piano. We have our song leaders. We have our sign language. There's just like so much. And it's incredible. It's just absolutely incredible because we do this to glorify God. Let's pray. Lord, I come before you, Lord, and I ask for your blessing. I ask, Lord, that the words that come out of my mouth would be pleasing to you, and that they would reach ears that are willing to hear, and hearts, Lord, that are just softened by your love. I pray, Lord, that you just be with us this day, that you just let our Sabbath day be a day of rest and a day of glory and honor to you. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. One of the questions I get asked is, you know, this is a little bit of insanity, controlled sanity. But one of the questions I get asked is, why do you do this? Like, where is your passion in this? And I was thinking back about it this week, and I remembered this story when I was a kid. I was 16 years old, high school. We grew up going to church on Sundays. You go to church, and then you go visit grandma. That was our life. But other than that, it wasn't anything really more than that. So that's just kind of like my church history background. So I'm at school, and the cutest boy in school asked me out on a date. Testimonies, guys. This is all testimonies. Call borders. So cutest boy in school asks me out. And I am just like, literally, it was like early in the morning, so I still had to get through all my classes the rest of the day, and I'm just like, all day long, literally, all day long. I was a track runner, though, too, so I still had to go and run track and like get through the whole day before I could just sit and lay on my bed and go, I can't wait till this weekend. So needless to say, I float my way all the way home. My mom comes in and I'm just like, Mom, guess what? He asked me out. She's all, which one? So I go into the detail and I tell her everything, and she looks at me and she says, the church is having this program that you're going to. Wait. Mom, I got a date. Can't go. She said, no, you're going to go. And I was like, well, all right, maybe we can switch the days, or maybe we can go out another night. I'm not allowed to go out during the weekdays. So I'm like, all right, well, maybe we can go out Friday night instead of, I wasn't Adventist, okay? So I call him up, and unfortunately, he had stuff he had to do, so we're just going to have to postpone it. So I get up Saturday morning, and then I'm just mad, because our date was supposed to be Saturday, and I have to go to this church program all day Saturday. Like, are you kidding me? So I do what every 16-year-old girl does, and I pouted, and decided that if I had to be somewhere my mom was going to make me be, I was going to be miserable. There was nothing you were going to be able to do to make me happy. So I dressed in all black. Black hat, black top, black pants, and if you're an 80s person, I was wearing black creepers. Okay? Thank you, 80s people. I wasn't allowed to wear all black because my mom thought that was too punk rocker looking. So I threw on a red belt just so I wasn't completely rebellious. I get in the car and I'm just like sulking. It's a 15-minute ride with somebody who's got negative vibes just shooting out of their eyes. I couldn't believe you're making me do this. I could be on a date tonight. So I get to the church and I walk in and I'm just like, I mean, literally, I think my mom did slow down and like threw me out of the car. She just didn't even want me in the car. She was just going to do this. And so I get out of the car, I walk into the church, and it's like in this fellowship hall. And I'm looking around to figure out where I can hide. And so I find this crevice of a corner, and it like has this shadow, and I'm like, I'm just going to stand there. And so I go and I stand in the corner with my arms folded like this, like, just don't talk to me. I don't like any of you people. Just don't. And these two precious souls, these two young girls, bubbling with energy, walk over to me and say hi to me. And I'm just like this, what's up? They're like, oh, where are you from? Around. And they're like, your mom make you come?
Yeah.
Yeah, our mom made us come the first time, too. Yeah, I could have had a date tonight. And they were cute, innocent little girls. They were just like, yeah, we don't have dates yet, but our mom still made us come. I'm like, yeah, I really don't want to be here. And they're like, yeah, I totally know how you feel. My name is, I couldn't even tell you the girls' names. I'm like, yeah, my name is Celeste. They're like, you want to come meet some of our friends? Since you have to be here, you might as well make the most of it. Oh, man. Okay. And I went. And it was the most incredible day of my life. Like, I just felt so uplifted by God. Like, I was, like, literally as excited as I was about that date, I was even more elated about the feeling that I had that day. And when my mom came to pick me up, I think my mom was just scared out of her mind to how I was going to be. My mom walks up, and I'm like, Mom, I love you. That was love. Mom, I love you. Thank you so much for making me come. And she was like, oh, thank God. She didn't want to have to drive home with me if I'd had a horrible time, right? But, you know, I think about that story. And you know that verse in the Bible, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. When he is old, you got to listen to those words. You got to listen to those words. Because when I got back to school on Monday morning, the boy I had a date with had a girlfriend. And it wasn't me. And I was mad. See what happens when you go to church? The boy you like gets another girlfriend. That's what happens when you go to church. That was my understanding. But, you know, I think about that. And I think about just how angry I was in that moment. How much I just wanted to disappear. How just how hard it would be for those girls to have approached me. And praise God for them. And I was reading something. I want to share this with you. Listen to this. This is a parenting book. It's talking about parents parenting your kids. Listen to this closely. The more unlovely they are, the greater pains you should take to reveal your love for them. Wow. How many times, you don't have to raise your hand, how many times are we unlovely? Oh, how many times do we see people who are unlovely? Oh, man. It is not easy to be loving to somebody who is unlovable. But this is a quote from Ellen White, and she tells us the greater pains you should take to reveal your love for them. That's powerful. Matthew 5, verse 14 tells us this. You are the light of the earth. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Those girls had a light. They were full of God's love. And when you have that light in you, you draw people to you. Light draws. It's beautiful. People are fascinated with light. When you go camping, the best part of camping is when the sun goes down and you light that campfire, right? You light that campfire and you just sit around it and you just look at the beautiful stars. You feel the warmth that the light brings. But you know, unfortunately, the bad part about fire is that it also burns. We have this problem sometimes that we want our light to shine so much that we go running forth with our torch and we burn people with it. And that is not the way God tells us to be. Light should draw people in. Psalm 139, verse 5. Thank you. Lito, you're with me. Awesome. It says, you hem me in behind and before. When we as a church can shut that back door and not let anybody out and bring them in through the front door, we are this verse. You hem me in behind and before. We have to be a church that creates a light, that draws people in, that we love people, that our love draws people to us. We can create this environment right here. You can shake your heads no at me all you want. You can think that it's not going to happen because we are just people. But where are my VBS kids? Where are my VBS kids? Are you ready? What was the very first verse you learned? Luke 1:37 says nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? So if you believe that, then we can be a light into this world, and we can be a light in our community, and we can hem people in behind and before, just like God hems us in. And we need to do that. So let's find out how. Let's find out in God's Word, how do we do that? And actually, through our studies this week in Vacation Bible School, we learned all of these verses. And the thing about Bible verses is that you can use them in other ways. And so the stories that they learned with these verses are going to be a little bit different, but it teaches them to use these verses in everything that they do in their life, and they can draw back on these verses. So nothing is impossible with God. The very first thing we have to do as a church is exactly what those girls did. As soon as they had my name, I was done. Right? When someone can address you by name, it becomes personal, doesn't it? It becomes personal. As a church, when somebody walks in that door, man, we got to get their name. Isaiah 43:1. Where are my VBS kids? Isaiah 43:1. Amen. Isn't it amazing hearing kids just know their Bible verses? I have called you by name. You are mine. I know, they're back there, right? You guys are laughing at me. That's all right. Knowing people's names becomes personal. When the first year where my Chavez girls, Barbara and Linda, my precious girls, the first year they started with me, I told them I was going to share the story. The first year they started with me, I kept confusing their names. And no matter what, I would walk up and I would think I had their names down and I would switch them every single time. And finally I realized that one of their hair was longer than the other. And so I would just kind of look behind and see whose hair was longer. And I'd be like, all right, Linda. And she'd be like, yeah. Well, then we came back from Christmas break and Barbara had cut her hair and they were like both the same length. And I was like, oh, man. But you know, they can tell me the differences between the two of them. Oh, look, she has this, or look, she has that. Her hair is straighter, her hair is curlier. Like, and they explain all this stuff to me. But knowing somebody's name isn't just about knowing their name. It's about knowing them. It's being able to recognize them. Being able to differentiate one girl from another girl. And that is something that we have to do. We have to be able to reach out to know people by name. There were like, I'm going to correct Pastor JP, there were 91 kids on our register for VBS. No? More now? 120? Woo! We had 120 kids come through VBS. That is a lot of names. Praise God for helpers and name tags. Name tags were amazing. But as you get to know people, their name just becomes seared in your mind. The other thing we need to do is we need to make room. We need to make room. John 14:2. Kids, go for it. There is more. John 14:2. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. And we need to realize that. When you walk, when imagine being a stranger like I was in that church. Not feeling one, it was very easy for me to hide because I didn't really know anybody there. In fact, I didn't know anybody there. But when those girls got my name, when they made room for me, it was a huge difference in my heart. And I think about my girls. My two oldest girls have been moved out. You know, you've got college and life and all those things. And we had I have four daughters. So, you know, when you sit at the dinner table, it's loud, you know, you have chairs, and then when they bring their friends, we have to bring extra chairs, and it's just like, we just make room. Those of you who've been to my house for Sabbath lunch, you guys know, you know, we just like grab some more chairs and put you all in. But when my oldest girls moved out, it was so empty. Like, it was so empty that I literally cried. I'm not kidding. I'm not going to lie. I cried. And so I told my husband, we need to take out the leaves in the table because it's just too much. I can't handle looking at all this empty space. So we took the extra leaves out. We squished it down to a table of four, just us and our two other little girls. And I moved the chairs away from the table so I wouldn't have to, like, feel that. Like, it was just terrible. I miss them so much. By the grace of God, they're back home, and we put the leaves back in our table. And so it is good. But we need to make room. We need to make room. When you're at church, it's so easy to just fit right back into your clique. And we all do it. So you hear people talk about, oh, you know, church is just full of cliques. Well, maybe we are, because we hang out with who we're comfortable with, right? But we need to draw people in. We need to get their names, and we need to make room for them. We need to shove over, add another leaf in that table, and bring them in. Because when you feel welcome, statistically speaking, you know, it takes 6 good contacts at church to keep a person continually coming. 6. And that's just not high and by. Those are just 6 good friends that you have at church that keep you here. That's incredible, right? We can do that. Can you guys make 6 friends? No? Wow. This whole talking through back to the person speaking, that's a little scary, right? Can you guys make 6 friends? Thank you. I know my kids can, right? Thank you. You guys are really good at making friends, but we need to do that because we don't want to walk in. We don't want to have somebody walk in and have it feel like a click. And I've stood. Have you ever just stood in the foyer and just watch? Just watch. just see how people, like, we do. We all, like, converse together, and all of a sudden it ends up being a circle, right? And you're just like, oh, I haven't seen you. And all of a sudden you're just totally closed off. And that's what we do. I mean, that's human nature. But we have to think outside of that human nature. We have to be Christ-like, and we need to welcome and invite and open up and make room. The other thing that we do really well, and VBS actually did this, is we need to create events. We need to give people a reason to come to church, right? We have to have a reason to be here. So what is, let's see, Psalm 122 verse 1. Kids, where are we at? Where are we right now? Where are we right now? The house of the Lord. And VBS is what brought you guys here. When we have these amazing events, that is what draws people in. Now that we've known their name, now that we're inviting them into our family, now is the time we need to create events to really draw outsiders in. And that's what VBS does. That's what evangelistic series do. That's what community service projects do. That's what my colporters, woohoo! That's what my colporters are doing. They are just, and you guys are, I say my, I know Heidi, like I totally adopted Heidi, so. That is what you guys are doing. We're creating an environment where we can bring people into church. And that is when people will say, let us go to the house of the Lord. We want that desire, not just in here, but outside. And when we can draw people with our light, when we can love, when we can include, then we will not be afraid to say, let us go to the house of the Lord. I picked on my kids last week. I knew what I was going to be talking about today. And so I asked them some tough questions about why you don't invite friends to church. Why aren't there, if we all agreed that fellowship was important, we had this conversation, I said, do you believe that fellowship is important? And they every single one of them agreed, yes. Do you believe that church is important? Yes. So then let me ask you this, why aren't your friends here? I'll let you ponder that and you can think of what their answers were. But I'm just going to tell you that these biblical principles will make a difference. And it will make a difference in the lives of others. And I'm going to tell you right now, it made a difference for me. I can stand here and have a passion for youth and for kids because of that experience that I had as a 16-year-old girl and feeling loved and accepted and brought into a community. And although it didn't change me right there, it planted a seed in my life. And when I came back to the Lord, I wanted to fulfill that feeling right there. I wanted to create that in everybody else's life, in every kid's life, because it made such a huge impact into my own. So we got these things. When we do these things, then we can do Galatians 5:13, which is what? VBS guys, go for it. Galatians 5:13, serve one another in love. We need to serve each other. We need to be there for each other. You know, just going to say, those of you parents that have your kids sitting here in church, I really don't care if they're loud or noisy. I'll talk right over them. Doesn't faze me. Doesn't faze me in the least. You know what's really funny? Those cell phones get me. But kids, I want the kids here. When Mandy was little, she was about 2 years old, and as a parent, it never fails that you get your kid all ready for church, and you're sweating, right? And like you walk into church, and you have them just perfectly dressed, finally. And I have all girls, so you have the little frilly socks and the patent leather shoes. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Your things your parents make you wear. We would get into church, and I'd just be like, oh, thank God we made it. You know, and we had only come, like, for the sermon because I couldn't get here any earlier than that. And it would never fail. Mandy would somehow slide off my lap and roll underneath the seat, and in 2 seconds flat, be handing me her socks and her shoes. Here you go, Mom. She's like, sit down, be quiet. Okay. And she would just be like, oh, it's so hard when your kids are little to have them sit through church. So parents, praise God that you were here with your kids. And you know what? My hat is off to you because I know exactly what it's like trying to get your kids here to church. But we had this couple who sat behind us. And praise God for their patience. Because at the time it was the three girls, you know. And so we hadn't had Holly yet. And it was just hectic trying to get here. And I'm sure we were noisy. I apologize. But this couple who sat behind us pulled me aside one Sabbath morning before we walked into church, and I thought, oh, I know they sit behind me. This is not going to go well. And I'm just dreading what's going to come, right? Keep your kid quiet. I'm like, I'm trying. But this couple comes up to me, and they said, I have a gift for your daughter. Do you mind if I give it to her? And I was like, okay. And they come around, and they call Amanda over, and they hand her this little bag. And they said, sweetie, this is your Sabbath bag that I have for you. And inside it, she opens it up, and there is a Sabbath coloring book with, like, lots of Jesus pictures, really cute stuff, and some crayons. And I don't remember what else was in there. I think there was, like, some Cheerios or something in there. And they said to her, you know, when you're in church and the pastor starts talking, I want you to color me a picture. And after church, I want to see what you drew, what you colored. And she was like, okay. So we went, you know, we did the song service thing. The pastor starts, just stands up to talk, and they look over, and I was like, okay, now's the time. And so she just got out her color book, and she sat. By the grace of God, she sat almost all the way through church being quiet. But she did keep lifting up the book to show the couple in the back what I did. And he's like, okay, show me after. And every week this couple would come and say, Mandy, do you have your Sabbath book? And she would. And on the days that she forgets, she would be like, I forgot it. And they'd be like, that's okay. Show me next week. And this went on. And I just think, isn't that incredible? It's such an incredible testament to serving others in love. And not only did it help my child sit through church, but it connected them to this couple. And my daughter grew up knowing them and having a relationship with them. And so when she started to talk in church or started to, you know, try to show her pictures, they could say to her, shh, show me later. And it was never offensive. It was like, oh, okay, because they had instilled a relationship with her. And that is what serving others in love truly, truly means. Pastor Tony, I love Pastor T. One of the things that he would always tell the kids is this quote right here. He used to tell the kids, be the change you want to see in others. Matthew 7, verse 3-5. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect. Be Christ-like. The only person that we have control to change is us. We can't control anything outside of our environment. We can't. There's no way. We can try. And as a mom, I try. Matthew 5, verse 43 to 48. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. We need to be that light, Jesus' light, to others, and to draw others in with our light. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for each one of us, Lord, that we would serve you in love, that we would get to know others, that we would know their names, that we would bring them into our family, Lord, bring them into your house to worship you, and that our light would shine in this world. We lay our lives before you, Lord, and ask for you to perfect our character. And we just say all these things in your wonderful and holy name, and all God's children said, amen. In about 2 minutes, the deacons are going to come and collect offering. But I just want to tell you that